You would please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, please. I did want to make one additional announcement, and that is with regards to Brother Larry Reynolds. He has had oral surgery last week, is feeling some better, but is still on some pain medication that prevents him from getting out and about safely. So want to continue to remember him and his wife in our prayers. Manda, thank you. I want to talk about assembling with the saints as we turn to Acts chapter 10. You know, our attention, perhaps in part this week, has been drawn to events in the news overseas in the Ukraine. And through various friends and those we know, we've heard a little bit about some of our brethren who are in Ukraine. Not a whole lot of news, but what we recently heard or last heard from one group of Christians there in one of the cities, they were meeting in their basement of the church building, the meeting house, because that was the safest place they could be. Their homes were not safe. But they were, again, meeting there not just for assembling together, but to live. For a brief time. And we've not heard anything as of yet as to their circumstance today, but we certainly, as always, should be thankful for the many blessings we have and be thoughtful of our brethren this world over who are in much, much more dire circumstance and less than ideal circumstance, and not take our circumstance for granted. As we think about the privilege it is to wake up in a place in which we have the freedom to get dressed as we wish and to drive in our own vehicles comfortably and to come into this comfortable place and not to fear oppression or violence for our lives, because we desire to serve the Lord, because we desire to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to give Him our fullest attention as we gather together in this place. It's amazing to think about those things that are going on in this world and yet to be able to come to a quiet place, a place in which we can give our attention fully to what God has said. For example, in Acts chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius said, "So I sent it to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God." Now, in this verse that the Holy Spirit records for us, we have Cornelius, who's a Gentile, a man who was well spoken of by the Holy Spirit of God, and he is speaking to a Jew, that is Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, what I want us to think about first as we begin this is Cornelius is a man who was ready to do God's will. He is ready and willing to do God's will. He said, "We are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God." And let's be introduced to this man once again in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." Now look at verse 3. "About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid, and he said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.' And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Here is a man who for some time has been not only thoughtful of God, but also also doing what he understood best, to serve God. But we understand that his understanding was incomplete. He was not really in this circumstance as he should be. That is, he should be free from his sins, but he has not yet heard what he must do in order to be in that right relationship. But again, I say to you, he is interested in those things, and he has a mind and a thoughtfulness of God and of God's things. But when he hears an angel of the Lord say, "You sinned for Simon Peter," that's exactly what he did. He did not hesitate. He did not question. He did not doubt. He did exactly what the Lord said to do. And you think about Simon Peter, who is at Simon's house. Simon Peter, we'll just call him Peter because that's how he is often described in the New Testament texts. He is a man who is also ready and willing to do the will of God. Now, Peter, like everyone else, is imperfect. There are times in which he does not do what pleases the Lord God. But generally speaking, he is an exemplary man who had a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as he lived on this earth, but also as he has been raised from this earth and sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Peter is another man interested in doing the will of God, and he traveled to Joppa for that very purpose. There are several things in verse 33 alone that indicate what I'll call an ideal assembly. And I'd like for you to think about that with me. Verse 33 is there on the screen. You can see that. And the first point I want to make in verse 33 is that all were present. "Now therefore," Cornelius said, "we are all present." Now we don't know who is included in all that all who are present that day for that special meeting. But we do know it was quite a group. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 10. "As he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together." Peter, when he comes into this Gentile's house, finds many who have come together. Now all who are present, that is the many, they were there for a reason. They were there for a reason. While Cornelius was waiting for Peter, you see, he had been busy. Cornelius had been doing what Paul exhorts us to do in the book of Ephesians, that is to redeem the time, to make the most of this time that you've been given. Now, Cornelius could not do a lot of things. He's already sent for Peter. And so what does he do now? Verse 24, the latter portion of that verse. "Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." So here's a man who was busy even when he was waiting. He had done what he could. Not only did he want to hear, not only did he have an interest in hearing what Peter would have to say to him, he wanted others to have that same opportunity. He thought, you know what? If the Lord sent an angel for me to hear something that I must do, then others need to hear this too. Others should be interested in this, what I'm interested in as well. And that's a wonderful attitude, an example for us to follow. But I ask you, as I ask myself, how many of us have recently invited someone to attend a Bible study or an assembly of the saints? I'm not asking for hands. I'm asking for hearts to consider our own recent history. Our own recent history as to how many times we've spoken with somebody this past week or month. And then, of those times we've spoken with other people, how many times have we invited someone to attend a Bible study or an assembly of God's people in this place? Now, what would our assemblies be like if each and every one of us invited someone to join us? You know, really, wouldn't it be better if I phrased that again this way? What will our assemblies be like when we each invite someone to assemble with us? To study God's Word. To sing with us praises to our God. To be instructed by God's Word. To gather together to consider spiritual things. And to be thoughtful of our Creator. What will it be like when we each and everyone do that very thing? Now, I'm positive because history bears this out. The Scriptures tell us this. The Lord tells us this, that not everyone is interested in that. Not everyone will accept the invitation. Not everyone will avail themselves of the opportunities that are given to them by God and God's people. But you know what? Just someone might. And someone does. Listen to what someone has to say when they invite someone to a Bible study or to an assembly of God's people. You think about that. Do we want others to hear and obey the gospel? The good news of salvation? Do we have a desire to help other people? For them to hear the good news that we have heard and that we have accepted and that we are benefiting from? Don't we think enough of others to invite them? You know, this verse should be played out in time in each of our lives over and over and over again. Now, Brent was waiting for the assembly, but had called together all his friends and close relatives. Could that be said of you? Should it be said of you? Willie has been waiting for the Lord's Day to come, and he has been inviting people to assemble, or Francis, or Kay, or any of us. Can that be said of me and of you? That's what Cornelius did. But you know, someone is ready with the quick question, but is really anyone interested in this? And then they answer that question by saying, no, no one is really interested in this. No one is really going to come. Well, are you sure about that? Because again, I point you to the passage. Look at verse 24. Again, Cornelius called together his relatives and his close friends. What if Cornelius had said, you know what, the Lord has told me to be here for this important message, but I'm sure my friends and my family, they've got other things going on. They're too busy. I'm sure they wouldn't be interested in this. Someday, maybe, I'll invite them. Well, then we wouldn't have found verse 27, in which Peter went in and he found many who had come together. You see, that wouldn't have happened. There wouldn't be an assembly gathered together in Cornelius' home if he had just waited for someone else to take the initiative. And I know that many of you are members of the Lord's body, are baptized believers, are free from your sin, and look forward to a home in heaven because someone at some time took an interest in you and studied God's Word with you, gave you an invitation to come together either in a Bible study or an assembly of the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. You're here, and your life is a testimony to that. So why would we not then reciprocate by doing the same for others? Now, I do realize, and we are all too aware, that some won't come out because of concerns for health. Thankfully, that seems to be lessening. Hopefully more will be coming out. But you know, COVID is not the reason we don't have everyone present for the assemblies. That's not the reason. It never has been. Can you think of any time before COVID when every member of the Lord's church came together in this place to worship God in spirit and truth? Everyone was present. Everyone was involved. You see, that was before COVID. Sometimes, perhaps it seems like more come out for other things, work day, business meeting. But sometimes it seems a struggle to gather together on the Lord's day. Now, I do understand that there are some who are sick. Those who are sick are not expected to be here in that condition. And I understand that from time to time we must perhaps work. But what about those who are choosing to do something else? What about someone who chooses to do and be somewhere else? To use their time for something else? And who, let's put it in the reverse, aren't willing to sacrifice their time and their attention and their efforts to come together to assemble with God's people. Cornelius and his household were there because they were interested in spiritual things. They wanted to hear a message from God. They didn't consider that to be commonplace or ordinary. And neither should we. They were where they were supposed to be, and they were blessed because of it. And when we are where we're supposed to be, I believe we are blessed for it. Not only because we are given the privilege to serve our God and please Him in that, but also because we have the privilege to be encouraged by others and to help others and to eliminate any sort of confusion and to help direct others and our own attentions to the one true and living God of heaven. Do we do this often? Yes. But that does not, should not lessen the importance of it, the significance of it. It should give us all the more reason to think, I must be there. I must participate. I must do my best because my God has provided me with instruction and example, help, and given me so much more than I could ever offer to Him. What I have to offer to Him is so much little, but I'll give it all. You know, Satan is also at work. Satan is also making great efforts to try to attract and invite us. Satan is busy asking us to go do this and go do that. To spend your time, your attention, your treasure, and all that you've been given by God in His business. Will you accept and use the devil's excuses as to why you missed an assembly of God's people before Holy God and His throne? Regarding Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, all were reverent. Now therefore we were all present before God. When Cornelius and his guests came together, they recognized that they were present with and before God. Now, just think about that. How do you prepare yourself when you go in to talk to the boss? How do you prepare yourself if you're going to talk to somebody who is powerful or a dignitary or holds a position of rank over you, who is in a place of honor and who is in a place of preeminence, who has demonstrated and continues to show you the greatest love that you'll ever know? Well, you go in with a concern that you present yourself well, that what you do in that person's presence is only give them their due. Not going to distract from anything. Not going to try to make it about me, but offer them the very best of what we have. I realize that there are limitations with regards to that, with regards to those on this earth who might be in a place of power, preeminence, or position. But we're not talking about just anyone upon this earth. We're talking about Holy God. We're talking about the one who created us, who sustains us, and makes possible our very lives, to provide for our families, to raise our children, to raise our grandchildren if we are blessed with such, to help our neighbors and to be helped by our neighbors, to help our brethren and to be helped by our brethren. Do we present ourselves and prepare ourselves for the best when we come before our God who has done so much for us? We should. How do you come into God's presence? Well, we should come in with reverence, with respect, in a state of awe and concern that what we bring Him is just that, our very best. And that means we respect His sacrifice and we offer our best. We sacrifice our own comfort. We sacrifice our own personal preference. We put aside petty differences. We put aside those things which might be crowding out our thinking in popular culture or in the news. We put aside those things which attract the world because we desire to attract our God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I understand that that passage speaks to the fact that we ought to be this way, do this, have these qualities of reverence and godly fear, not just in an assembly, but how much more when we come together in this place, which we have been blessed to come. Well, God is present in each of our assemblies, and we should conduct ourselves in such a way and present ourselves in such a way that it is acceptable to Him. Reverence and godly fear. In fact, we should prepare ourselves for this assembling together before the opportunity presents itself. We should participate and anticipate our engagement of our hearts and our very bodies as we do what our God has asked of us to do in the singing of these songs that we sing, in the Lord's Supper, which calls to our mind the sacrifice of our Lord for our sins. As we gather together to pray and to come before the throne of God boldly, but only in the person of Jesus Christ. As we listen carefully to the teaching and preaching of the gospel, making sure that the things said are so, that we should encourage each and every one, not only in this assembly, but in our lives, to come do the same. You know, we can't do that when we're off doing something else by choice. All were present, all were reverent, and all were determined. Verse 33, now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. Cornelius, his family, and his friends did not come together to be entertained. They didn't come together to get a ticket stamped and say, I was there, or to get a t-shirt like you get at a concert. They weren't there to make an appearance or to be amused or to please Cornelius. There are other times in which we can find amusement. There are other times in which we can say, well, I went there and I did that and I enjoyed it and it was fine and it was good. There are other times to gather together to go fishing or to recreate, to enjoy a movie, whatever it might be. These people here, we are gathered together, and we gather together before God. And we do so with purpose, with determination, because in part we want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever God says, we will hear. Whatever God says, they wanted to hear. They didn't want anything held back. They didn't want to just hear the truth that they agreed with and leave everything else at the door. They wanted to hear, notice the text, all the things commanded you by God. And that's why Peter came. That's exactly why Peter came. And he did that very thing. And this is what Paul did wherever he went. He said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. He wouldn't hold back. He wouldn't limit it in any way. He provided what was necessary, what was helpful, what was, in fact, the whole counsel of God. And that should be our same determined purpose. That should be our same determined purpose today. And every day we are blessed with health and opportunity to gather together. Cornelius and his family and friends were determined to obey whatever God had to say to them. They didn't come to hear opinion, speculation, positive affirmation, theories, nor do we come together for what pleases us. We come here to listen to God's word and to worship Him. And we should want to do God's word in all facets of our lives. We should want God's word to illuminate every corner of our lives and every corner of our hearts so that there is no dark spot, there is no dark corner in which we can hide something or allow something to fester. We should let God's word work. But that requires that we be determined to hear all that God has said. And I hope, and I do pray, that each of you are here with this same attitude today. That you're present, not only in body, but in spirit. That you're reverent, respecting Holy God who is here with us and before whom we are. And that we are determined to hear nothing but God and His Word. You know, when Peter came to preach the gospel at Cornelius' house, he found an ideal assembly. People who were gathered together for that purpose. Let's make every effort to make every assembly the ideal circumstance in which we are all present and encouraging each other and others to join with us as we live this life before our God, desiring to please Him and only Him. Because it's only the gospel that can convert a soul. It's only the gospel that can convert a soul to Christ. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew, for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But how will they hear unless they hear the gospel preached? If you're here today and your life is not right, you have the opportunity to do as Cornelius and his household did, which is to not only hear the word of God, but also to obey the word of God, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to be right with Him not only today, but every day hereafter as you walk faithfully in Him. And so we encourage you now with the song that's to be sung. Please come to the front while we stand and while we sing the song.